Hi friends, welcome to the E and Me podcast. I'm Ellie McCoy and I'm here with my dad.
Peace ever, joy ever, following you. Light ever, love ever, radiating through.
Hi, and we call this the E and Me podcast because it's just E and me. Talking about life, talking about friends, talking about love and faith and all sorts of good stuff.
Yepper.
Today we're going to talk about relationships, and we think it's going to be a two-parter.
Mm-hmm. It's a big topic.
So we're thinking friends and boyfriends, friends and relationships.
Like close relationships. Okay.
Yeah. So this time we're going to start with friends. And then we'll move into boyfriends or boyfriend/girlfriends and some other good stuff. So because they definitely overlap and one affects the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we always talk about, it's important to be friends first. Ellie is 11.
Yes.
And so we've been talking about that for some time now because there's this pressure in school, especially, I feel like, and with friends, to have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so what did we tell you when you were like 8 and 9 and 10 and girls were like, oh, he's your boyfriend? What did we always try to tell you?
Well, I guess you always told me that, Ellie, this is kind of your choice, like not really right now because you know it's not actually a boyfriend, but like it's your choice really to like accept, like let them say that or say no, like we're not boyfriend and girlfriend, we're just friends who kind of maybe like each other a little bit. And especially when you're young, I feel like it's kind of gone a little too far sometimes, or people are like, oh, we're dating or whatever. And I have nothing like against those people personally or anything, but I also think that can sometimes be kind of silly. And like what you told me was you didn't like force me to do anything really. You just like said, okay, it's kind of your decision, but you also know you're 10 years old and you're not actually going to have a boyfriend.
Well, I mean, I think what we said especially was just be friends.
Yeah. You don't have to
be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You can just be friends with everybody.
Yes.
And so we're getting to boyfriends and girlfriends more in the next episode, I think. But this one, we're going to talk about friends. So what is it to be friends with somebody and how that's important, and especially as you get older, one of the most important parts of adolescence is having friends, and you start to define yourself by the friends you have.
Yes.
And as opposed to only in relationship with your parents, you start to have those outside relationships that are really important.
Very.
So what do you see as so important about friends, Elle?
Well, I guess I think of like three or two different things. Trust, which is a big, big thing. And like mutual respect, which is like you have that kind of don't be a jerk to each other, basically.
Well, when you said respect, one thing I went to almost in my head, I was thinking you meant like admiration. Like there's something about that person that you
And like
maybe admires too strong of a word, but to a certain extent, right?
In common, kind of. Yeah.
Like, or at least have in common.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Try not to be jealous, because there have been friends that I've had that I've been jealous of, and that can just like tear apart the relationship, and that's just bad. Like jealousy is an ugly feeling and it's hard not to feel, but it's a big thing that you have to try to avoid when you think you're gonna be in a big relationship with that person, like whether it's
let's talk about that. So what when you're dealing with other kids, because, yeah, I kind of remember this when this started to become an issue. What, do you remember a time when you were jealous of somebody?
Well, this is actually kind of a funny story because we're really good friends now. But when I was in second grade, there was this girl that I knew, and she had a iPhone, like a nice iPhone. And I did not, because we were in second grade, and, like, I didn't need it then. You know what? When you want something that someone else has, you don't really think common sense like that. And I was so jealous. I really wanted a phone. And I remember asking my parents, and they're like, no, you don't need a phone. And I was like, ugh. Like, I was so mad and so jealous.
So how did it make you feel about her?
Well, it made me not like her. I didn't know her. I just knew because she had something I didn't like her.
Which is interesting because whose fault was it that you didn't have it? Whose fault was it that you didn't have that phone?
It was your guys's.
Right. It wasn't her fault that you didn't have it. It was your fault. And yet you were, I do kind of remember you being kind of annoyed with us. And but the fact that it affected your relationship with this other girl is interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of human nature. I know it's not your proudest moment, but that's
definitely not.
So how do you combat jealousy?
How I deal with it and how I was taught, like how mommy mostly taught me and how I kind of, sorry, but okay. I just remember having this talk with her a lot about jealousy. That you have to think of all the stuff you have. Think of all the privileges you are granted. Like this girl at the time was an only child. And so she didn't have anyone to play with. And I had this like, I don't know, I was in second grade. So what was Lucy, like 4 or 5? And I had this little tater tot running around my house, and it was great. And I was, like, never lonely again because I had a little sister. And she, and, like, when we talked eventually, she wished she had a little sibling. Mm. And she wished she had that kind of thing that I had. And I was like, hey, I wish I had a phone. We have something in common. And, like, dealing.
So your mutual jealousy became something in common?
Yes. I mean, like, when that, I don't know. It just happened. And now we're really good friends.
So what about, there's another kind of jealousy too, right? That becomes important with friends. You know, there's objects that you can be jealous over, but what about jealousy over friends themselves?
Ooh, yes. This is. So I have had friends that have seen me hang out with other friends and then have gotten mad at me. And I haven't done that a lot because I don't, like, when I have friends, I don't usually hang out with, like, a huge group. I usually, like, just have, like, one or two people, right? But, like, I've seen, like, other people, like, have other friends and then got mad at them. And that's just, like, tearing apart their relationship because their jealousy is so uncontrollable.
Yeah, so, like, you're friends with two different girls and, you know, girl A and girl B. And you hang out with girl A a bunch. And then one day you hang out with girl B.
Yes.
And then girl A gets mad.
Yeah, and that's why three friends usually don't work as well. Four friends or, like, two friends are good because they're even numbers, right? But, like, three friends, it's harder. And I learned that the hard way several times where I've had three friends. And
you and two others.
Right,
three,
yes.
Three total friends. Right,
yes, there. Three total friends, and that just has not worked out because it's hard to share. Like, sharing is, like, hard when it comes to friends for some people. Not for all, but for some people, you just want them. And, like, that's it. You don't want anyone else in your group. And me not being shy and outgoing, I make friends a lot. And that has become a problem with some of my friends as I was younger. That, like, me making new friends, they're, like, get upset with me because they wish that I would just, like, stay with them.
Yeah, and sometimes we talk about that as being, you know, some kids are kind of insecure, right? They're afraid that,
yes,
nobody likes them.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're afraid that, you know, nobody would want to be their friend. So as soon as you give them not even reason, but just the inkling that maybe you like somebody else, their imagination runs wild and they, like, run right to, oh, you don't like me.
Yep. Like, they don't take the steps. They just jump to conclusions that, yeah, you don't like me anymore. And that's hard to deal with because you have to explain to them. And even sometimes you don't. Like, sometimes you just let them be mad at you. And that can be one of the hardest things to walk away from a good relationship you've had for a long time because of broken apart by jealousy.
Well, we don't have to be so dramatic. Sometimes it's
right,
even just,
like,
for that.
They're
afternoon.
Not crushed, but.
Well, it's just for, like, I know that there's been times, like, a couple months ago, one of your friends was like, we're not friends with you anymore.
I was like, okay.
And there's this knee-jerk reaction of being like, one, either devastated, like, oh, we're not going to be friends anymore. I can't believe it. I'm really hurt.
Or, like.
Or kind of what you did, which was, we're going to be friends.
Like, this is not, like, This has happened a lot to me, and it happens a lot to other girls who are around my age sometimes, that friends decide that they're not going to be friends, and it lasts for, like, not even a day, like, for, like, 2 hours. They decide they're not friends, and they just avoid you. And then, like, they're like, hey, can we be friends again? I'm like, girl, we never stopped being friends. You just walked away one day.
Yeah, and I remember you saying, like, one of them was like, oh, are you mad at us? And you're like, I was never mad at you. You just...
you just walked away.
Yeah.
Like, and so I did something else. Like, did you expect me to, like, be, like, I was a little upset, but, like, I knew eventually you'd become and be my friend. Like, that might sound selfish, but it's kind of the truth. Like, girl, I never stopped being friends with you. Like, I was never mad at you. You were the one who were mad at me, and I didn't know why. So I just, I don't know, hung out with someone else for a little bit.
I feel like this is the Real Housewives of elementary school phenomena.
Yes.
They're like,
yes.
There's this
yes.
desire for everything to be dramatic. And I don't think it's a new thing. Because I don't know if I told you this, but I found one of my old, like, notebooks from, like, fifth or sixth grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was... I wrote about all the different kids in my class. And I had these friends, Matt and Steve in particular, that looking back, I'm thinking they were like my best friends. Like, I love those guys. We played basketball together. They were, athletes. We did boy stuff. Well, no, we did stuff. We played basketball.
You guys are friends.
Right. We had sleepovers. And, like, I considered them like two of my best friends. But I read this journal entry, and it was all about how much I hated Steve. And how everybody was mad at him, and he was the worst. And I don't remember ever thinking this.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it more. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess we did kind of do that to each other sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it wasn't my proudest thing. But being able to see that in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, I was so proud of you, because you didn't just, like.
I didn't give up.
Well, and you didn't overreact. You didn't buy into the drama. Because I feel like I think kids like to experiment with drama.
When you feed into it, that's what makes it worse. Like, when you care, and then when you go and talk about them, it's like this chain. It starts with someone, like, some random, like, rumor or, like, a secret. And then it goes on to be something more, and then eventually it gets back to you. And you're like, I never said that. And then you get mad, and then it starts over again.
Right, so then you lash out and say, well, so-and-so is this.
And that is exactly what they're trying to get you to do. It's like they're manipulating you, not on purpose. Sometimes they're on purpose, and that's like, I don't know, I don't have like a name to call that, but like that's...
Mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, there's some that are just mean people. I mean, well, and we'll get to this, but...
There are some that are insecure and don't know what else to do, and then there are some that are just mean. And those are just the mean kids. And then there are other kids who, like, don't know what else to do. Like, I've seen
they're
other
just
kids
joining
do...
in the wave.
Exactly.
Like, you're just floating on the, like, and the lazy river. You just kind of get caught in it, and you can't not go on
and
it.
And you have to, like, in order to really not feed into that, you have to get away. Like, you have to. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in that for a while. And that can be the end of some relationships. And I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I've seen friends who had a great relationship not be friends anymore because they gave in to the drama.
And so here's the thing that we always talk about too, is not feeding into the drama, right? And not retaliating, mm-hmm. just kind of trying to stay above it as much as you can. Kind of waiting it out sometimes, like some girls just, you know, and we're
ignore.
Saying girls, but I'm sure boys do it too to a certain extent.
Right. Just girls kind of take it to the next level sometimes.
But then also, like, sort of removing yourself from people that are just toxic. Like, mm-hmm. like I know that there's some girls that, like, and I remember thinking this as a kid, it was the same. Like, there were some that when it was just one-on-one, it was great. It was like, you're just friends, and you play, and you pretend, and you play games, and whatever. But then as soon as you introduce other people into it, then they start this teaming up on and ganging up on and manipulating.
It's a natural thing that kids do.
Yeah, and yet there's some that do it more than others. And, like, recognizing
that
and realizing there's some kids like that. If you're going to be one-on-one, fine. But, like, there's like staying above the drama, but then also... understanding that you don't have to be friends with everybody.
No, you don't have to be everyone's friends. Now you need to be nice to everybody, like you need to respect them, but you don't have to be everyone's best friend. You can have close friends that you can hang out with. I don't love the term best friends or like BFF, because that just seems exclusive to me, like I'm just like leaving people out. So I don't love that term. And so whenever like I had this girl ask me, so who's your best friend? And I was like, all my friends. I have millions of best friends. Mm-hmm. Like I like them all and they all like me. And that is, we all have trust and mutual respect for each other. And they're all my best friends. I don't have a single one.
But then there are some people though that you just know I can't spend time with them. And you don't have to tell them that. And I think that's part of it. It's like, you don't have to go up to them and be like,
we're not friends.
You're
anymore.
Not friends anymore. But that you just know that you're just protecting. It's having boundaries.
Yes.
Right. And even as an 11-year-old, it's important to have healthy boundaries and know that there's some people that are just going to drag you down and some people that are going to lift you up. And that's what friendship, ultimately, that's what friendship is about, is having people that make you feel better about yourself and want to be a better person and make you a better person.
And you need to be ready to help them too. Like, you need to be able to help them lift them up as well. And that's part of, like, the little, like, even thing that good, like, how to notice good friends is to know that if you're in trouble, then they will lift you up. And then if they're in trouble, then they can trust you to lift them up too. Mm-hmm. That's an important thing that people who don't have stable friendships should have. Like, that's a key to a good friendship, I think.
Yeah. And recognizing that there are, like, kids that are hurt others. You know, hurting people hurt others. And I think that's true of adults. I think of, like, in the workplace or different places, yeah. You know, the people that are hardest to deal with were probably hurt by somebody, weren't treated well. And a lot of kids, all they know is conflict in their life. And all they know is
people
putting them down.
And that's how they, and then, like, when that's all they know, then they share with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to be able to stand up to that without starting a chain.
Right.
And that is, like, one of the biggest challenges that you'll, like, get kids face, especially when they get older and start making more friends, is that, like, you have to be able to stand up to the bully without being a bully back to them. You have to be able to stand up to them and also give them a friend.
Yeah.
Because that is sometimes all that kids need is a friend. Like, that is sometimes why they're kind of rude sometimes or start that kind of drama. It's just they need someone who is there to support them no matter what in their lives. And I'm not saying that they're all bad, like their experiences at home is all bad, but sometimes they just need a friend.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause for a moment. Let you folks that are listening, if you want to hit pause and talk a little bit about this idea of friends that are good friends and sometimes friends that are toxic friends, and what the difference is and how you can tell them apart. And maybe if you are a parent, kid sort of combo listening, maybe you can share some examples in your own life. And so we're going to pause for a moment and we'll get back to this conversation right after this. So we were talking about people that could be a little toxic, and maybe that's too strong of a word, but definitely people who like drama, seem to feed off the drama, could be a little bit mean sometimes. And I think one of the most important ways to combat that, it sounds simple, but it's kindness.
Being kind to someone who's being mean to you is easier said than done, I think. It's really important, though, because you have to show them, almost be an example to them, especially when it happens to be with toxic friends. You have to be an example or like an image of what you want them to be to you. And if you do that to them, and most of the time, if you show that kindness, you show that love, then they'll do it back. And hopefully that they realize that their choices are wrong, and then you guys can be good again.
Now, here's the balance, right? Now, if it's somebody that's like that and the kindness doesn't work and they're still mean, and then their kindness doesn't work and they're still mean, or if they're physical, absolutely, you know, there's a line that people can cross where it's not about just being a passive punching bag, but there's a strength in kindness that people don't realize just how much strength and courage it takes to be kind. Now, you've never really been bullied.
No.
And I think partly because I think people see you as... Have you seen it happen in your school?
Yes, I have. I have.
Why do you think you don't get bullied?
Well, for starters, I am about 2 inches taller than most of the boys.
Okay, so there's a physical aspect of it that you're not...
No, I'm kidding.
You don't look like a target because you're big. I mean, you're not easy to get picked on. You're tall and you're strong and people know that about you.
Right,
but there's
right.
more to it than that.
I'm emotionally confident. I am emotionally strong, I think. I think people know that if they do pick on me or whatever, that I can stand up with them without picking a fight. And that's kind of their goal, is to, like, kind of get under your skin. And I think people know that about me, and they don't come too close. Like, I'm not scary, but they also know that it can't really affect me emotionally as much as they could other kids.
Now, I have to say, as your dad, and makes me super proud, but also terrifies me, because part of me is afraid that somebody's going to see that, or maybe this year and next year you'll be fine, but once you get to junior high, or at some point you're going to meet somebody that's going to be just mean, and to me that's really frightening.
Yeah.
The idea of somebody being mean to you like that, and like trying to tear that down.
Right. That takes confidence, is to be able to face that with kindness, and then if they do pass the line, then to be able to be confident enough to know what you have to do to protect your boundaries. Like, you have physical and emotional boundaries that people are not allowed to pass, like, mm-hmm. and if they do pass that line and it doesn't, like, kindness doesn't work, you should get an adult or, like, you know, like, stand up to them. And if that still doesn't work and they're really starting to scare you, don't be afraid to tell someone that you trust, because they will absolutely, if you trust them, they will absolutely not, they will do something. They will, if you trust them and you go to several people, they should.
Or if they don't do something, go to somebody else.
Right.
And if they don't do something, go to somebody else. Because
unfortunately,
it does get ignored too often. But yes. I think part of your confidence is knowing that we would have your back. I mean,
yes.
I like to think that at least.
Yeah, and I do. You're correct.
So what do you do when you see somebody
being, like, picked on or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's almost as hard to stand up as it is to get bullied, to be honest. And it sounds kind of silly, but I had a friend once who was being picked on because she wasn't exactly as attractive as some of the other girls in the grade. And for different reasons, but she was being picked on by a couple of, like, bigger, older, athletic boys and, you know, like, just bigger people who kind of had a rep for that kind of stuff. And I told them to cut it out. Like, she was very funny and really nice. Not as...
So you told him, like, in the midst of it to cut it out?
Yes, I told him to cut it out. Like, dude, this is not okay. How would you feel if someone... Like, these were, like, my exact words. Cut it out. How would you feel if someone did that to you? Walked away. Girl sat down. Didn't really acknowledge.
They walked away or you walked away?
They walked away.
Oh, okay.
And, like, went and sat down.
Yeah.
And one of the boys I knew and was surprised that he was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like, dude. I went and talked to him. I was like, why are you doing that? And he's like... Well, everyone else was doing it, so I thought I would. I was like, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, that was that. I mean, I'm not going to change other people, but I thought I knew that kid, kind of.
Yeah. Well, and people make mistakes, and maybe that was what he needed to be reminded of who he was, right? Sometimes
right.
we forget who
right.
we are, and sometimes people need a reminder. Like, you're not like that.
No,
yeah.
I know. That was a pretty changing moment for me
yeah.
in grade school. I was like, wow, okay. So now I really know that some people can change, but I also knew that I knew that kid.
Yeah.
I knew him and I knew who he really was. And he found himself again. He did.
Yeah.
He matured.
So we
a lot.
You know, we bounced around a little bit with friendships and yeah. kind of moved into bullying. But I think friendships are a really important defense against that kind
yes,
of thing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how much people that you think are friends can
turn on you.
Turn on you.
Which is also not exaggerating. Like, literally, they can turn on you and become not nice for whatever reason. Sometimes you never know. Sometimes you find out, like, 3 years later. And it's true.
I swear it seems like sometimes kids want to be on a reality show. It's like they're trying to imitate what they're watching on TV. So they see on TV people arguing and fighting and, you know, going behind each other's back, so they feel like they need to also. I mean, I'm sure it's happened before the popularity of, you know, reality TV and, like, kids' dramas on Nickelodeon and Disney, but sometimes that's what it feels like. Kids are trying to be a part of a TV drama because that's what's exciting and that's what it means to be grown up.
Yes, I know. It's like they think that they're, like, on some, like, soap opera. It's, like, so dramatic. And it's like, dude, like, we're not on, like, Disney Channel or something. We are in school. We're real kids. We're not being paid to be dramatic. Like,
nobody's watching.
Nobody's watching us. Like, ugh. Yeah.
Well, but somebody's listening, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so this has been a good episode. And,
hope you enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. This has been E and me.
Thanks for watching. Listening, not watching. Goodbye.
Peace ever, joy ever, following you. Light ever, love ever, radiating soon. Hope ever, faith ever, strengthening you. Life ever, breath ever, nourishing you. And everywhere you go, may you always be home. And everyone you meet be messengers of peace, that your light shine through. And your
podcast was produced and edited by Rob McCoy and Elizabeth McCoy. We have a special thanks to Heather Lynn for allowing us to use her song Ever. You can find out more about Heather Lynn and her wonderful artistry at heatherlynnmusic.com. eandmepodcast.com is our home on the web. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, all at eandmepodcast. Well, this ends our part of the conversation, but we hope that your conversation continues long after this show's over, and I hope we can be together again.